I just love seeing how God puts things together. I really do. I don't know if it makes us look good or not, but it makes it look like we're planning things out, and we're really not. We're really just letting God's Spirit flow and let Him put it together. And this morning is no different. And so let's pray so I can maybe get my head straight and get going in the right direction. Precious Heavenly Father, God, You are an amazing God. I thank You so much, Lord. Lord, if we would just open our minds, open our hearts, open our eyes, Lord, and open our spirits, God, we'd be overwhelmed with Your presence, Lord, because You are just standing at that door. You're knocking. You're wanting us to open it up and allow You to come in and just overtake our lives, Lord, and that not in a bad way, in an amazing way. And, Lord, we fight, we struggle, we push against that door so much, Lord, to try and keep You out so we can keep in control, Lord. But the truth is we're not doing a very good job. And so we just need to release, Lord, right now this morning. Allow Your Spirit to come in. Allow You to clean house, Lord. Allow You to give us new direction, new hope, new desire, Lord, for a new life that You've created for us through Your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, if there's anyone here right now who's struggling with that, Lord, I pray that You just allow Your Spirit to speak to them so boldly this morning, and they would know You, and they'd surrender to You, because You were worthy. So, Lord, I pray that You'd use this time for Your glory and Your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, this week, we had a great time. I had so much fun. You know what? With VBS and the kids and the message of VBS, it always amazes me when we get started with VBS every week or every year. I always think, man, this is just so basic stuff. But you know what? There's such a deep message that is being presented in such a friendly, non-threatening, fun way to these kids. And it's really an awesome thing. And, you know, when I first started looking at it this year, I was thinking, man, this is, you know, just kind of, I don't know, it seems like the same old thing, but it really wasn't this year. It was a powerful message. Any of the kids who were part of VBS, come up and help me out this morning. Just come on up right now. We're going to show you the main gist of what VBS was about this week. Come on, if you were at VBS, come on. Brent, adults too. Oh, they all went upstairs. Is that what you're saying? Get up here. Don't be shy. Stand up here with me. All right, so you remember everything? You got it all? Anyone else here? Come on, let's go. I know you were here. What? Get up here, Adriana. Come on, Tracy. There you go. Where's Callie at? Is she here this morning? All right. Is this it? Sarah, you were here. You're just hiding. Put it under a bushel, man, I'm telling you. All right, here we go. So here's the main message of VBS. You guys ready? God's heroes have heart. Do good. Seek peace. Go after it. God's heroes have courage. Do good. Seek peace. Go after it. God's heroes have wisdom. Do good. Seek peace. Go after it. God's heroes have hope. Do good. Seek peace. Go after it. Am I doing this by myself? God's heroes have power. Do good. Seek peace. Go after it. Good job. Thank you, guys. Did we get them all? All right. I was hoping so. Why did we do that? Here's the thing. The whole week was based on superheroes, and it's talking about that each one of us are God's hero, that God designed each one of us to be a hero. And I really got to thinking about this. This is kind of weird because have you noticed, and I talked about this a little bit on Thursday night, have you noticed the reinsurgence of superhero movies and characters and all these different things that are in our society right now? Have you noticed it? It's crazy. Actually, one of the things that Nathan had for his class was all the different superheroes that we have in our society today, all the different groups and things like that. And I was shocked because when I was growing up, you know, there was Superman and Spider-Man and Batman and Robin and Aquaman. I don't see Aquaman anymore at all. There was an Aquaman, right? Wonder Woman. There was that league of superheroes. You know, it was like little kids. It was little kids stuff. You know what I'm saying? Bam, wow, all these different things. But now, here's the weird thing. This superhero stuff is not designed, it's not being put out there for little kids. It's not being put out there for, you know, 9-10-year-olds and stuff like that. It's not just in comic books. Actually, what's going on is these superhero movies and stuff like that are designed for grown-ups. It's crazy. Grown-ups. And they're flooding the markets, and people are spending billions and billions of dollars, not just on the movies, but on the paraphernalia and all these different stuff. Here, if you want to be amazed, listen to this. This is a kind of neat list. The Justice League is made up of Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman, Flash, Green Lantern, Hawkgirl, and Martian Manhunter. Is it Martian Manhunter? Is that right? Martian Manhunter. I've never even heard of Martian Manhunter. But that's just the Justice League. Now you got the Avengers, and the Avengers are Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, Thor, Black Widow, Hawkeye. Is that like from MASH? No, a Hawkeye, and Nick Fury. I don't get that, but and then you got the Fantastic Four. I hope there's only four. Mr. Fantastic, the Invisible Woman, Human Torch, and the Thing. And you got, that's not it. We're not even halfway through. Then you've got the X-Men, who are Cyclops, Jean Grey, Iceman, Angel, Beast, Wolverine, Storm, Rogue, Colossus, and Nightcrawler. We're not done. Then you got the Teen Titans. You got Robin. I've never even heard of these. Robin, Kid Flash, Aqualad. Aha. Aquaman went down to Aqualad. Wonder Girl, Speedy, Beast Boy, Raven, Cyborg, and Starfire. We're not done. Then you've got the Guardians of the Galaxy. I've seen this one with the little raccoon that's psycho. You got Star-Lord, Gamora, Rocket Raccoon, Groot. My name is Groot. Drax and the Destroyer. Then you've got the Suicide Squad, which is Harley Quinn, Deadshot, Enchantress, Killer Croc, Captain Boomerang, Cantata? What? Katan? All right. All right, right here.
Yeah, it's Katana.
Katana, El Diablo, and Joker. And this doesn't even include War Girl and Captain Huggy Face. Those are the ones that I remember. Okay, so point in point here, all right? Why do we have so many superheroes in our society today? What's driving this? What's driving this? And it's not little kids, because you notice who I was going to right here. You're not a little, how old are you now?
24.
Oh my gosh. He knew every one of them. I bet you I could have quizzed him. He could have given me every one. You know what? It's not just Anthony. It's our society as a whole in an amazing way. What's driving this? We got to get a hold of this. What's driving it? You see, there's a deep-seated need within our being to see and hope and desire something good. Something good. There's a deep-seated need within each one of our beings, because really what each one of these people, why they're so popular, why these superheroes are so popular and these movies are so popular, is because honestly, in some way, shape, or form, we want to be able to identify with one of these superheroes and these superpowers. How many of us come away from those movies thinking, man, if I just had the power to, you know, I don't know what the powers are. I have no idea because I'm not into them. But if, you know, I watched the Spider-Man, to shoot a web and to fly around and get beat up like crazy and still be okay in the morning. You know, that would just be awesome. Every morning I wake up and I'm like popping ibuprofen and popping my knees before I get out of bed and putting a sheet around my foot and pulling on it so I don't fall on my face when I take my first step. You know, I would love to have those superpowers to do something good. Here's the thing. The reason that desire is there is because God put it there. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, God placed eternity in the hearts of men, but they cannot fathom what he has done from beginning to end. What's that mean? It means that God has placed within each one of his beings, each one of his creations, each one of you, a desire for something more than what you're experiencing and what you're doing right now. He placed a spot within your being to be filled with a power that goes beyond what you're able to do. He wants each one of his creations to be a hero. A hero, you were designed for it. But here's the thing. Just like the superheroes that we look at, every one of them, I shouldn't say every one of them because he'll correct me, I'm sure. I think every one of them at some point in time in their life, before they became a superhero, went through some tragedy or some life-changing event, like the Hulk. This is the only one I can think of. And I don't even know if this is the right story for Hulk anymore. But if I remember, the Hulk was a scientist. Help me out here. He was a scientist, and he was trying to develop something, and he either drank something that one of his... Help me out. What do you do? A gamma ray, okay, radiation thing. And he drank something, right?
No, he had like a gamma primer or something.
Something hit him. One of his experiments went terribly wrong, and he got infected with whatever he was doing. He went through an experience. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And all of a sudden became, he became like a superhero because of some life-changing event. And each one of the superheroes had a choice, because for every superhero, there is a what? Supervillain. And each one of the supervillains, like the Joker and all the other ones, they went through some type of event also in which they had to, you have to choose whether you're going to use this power for good or for evil. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so here's the thing. Each one of us has the opportunity to go through a life-changing experience, whether in the midst of our tragedy or maybe just in the midst of our everyday life, all of a sudden something happens that makes us come face-to-face with the opportunity to change our lives in a drastic way. You know what that is? It comes with one moment. It comes with one moment of making a decision of who Jesus is. And everyone has to deal with it in some way, shape, or form. Everyone has to deal with that one question at some point in their life. Hopefully, you have an opportunity to deal with it when you can make a positive decision in it. Because if you don't have an opportunity in this world to really face this question, who Jesus Christ is, if you don't have an opportunity to face it right now, here and now, in this world, then you're going to face it when you meet the Maker, and you're going to have to figure out who Jesus was, not who he is. And if you're trying to figure out who Jesus was, it's already too late to make a decision. So if you're hearing this right now, you've got an opportunity to figure out who Jesus is. And I'm going to tell you who he is, whether you believe me or not. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is atoning. I shouldn't say atoning because people don't understand that. He is a sacrifice that was given for our sin. God figured out that we could not live a perfect life in any way, shape, or form, that we could not be in fellowship with God because of the sin that's in our life. And so there had to be someone to pay the price for our sin, to take the punishment for our sin, because we can't do it enough, because I sinned so much, I would be a blithering pile of goo if I took all the punishment that I deserve for my sin. I wouldn't be able to handle it. And so God sent Jesus to take all the punishment. Him being a perfect person is able to take all the punishment for my sin and for yours. And we have to decide who Jesus is. And I'm telling you flat out, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who paid the price for your sin upon the cross. And without him, you are doomed to be an evil villain for eternity, suffering. For eternity. Now, why am I getting into all this? Because we're still in Acts chapter 19. Because it's spot on with what's going on in Acts chapter 19. If you remember last week when we were looking at Acts chapter 19, it started off with Paul going to Ephesus. And Paul gets to Ephesus and he meets these 12. Is it 12? I can't even remember now. I'm sure it's 12. Found some disciples. Duh, bah, duh, duh.
Is it 12? Someone say yes. Yes, it's 12. He met these 12 guys who are like followers of Jesus but don't have it fully. And so Paul takes it upon himself to find out what their baptism was. When he found out their baptism was the baptism of John, John the Baptist, he says, you know what, you need to be rebaptized in the name of Jesus. And when they were rebaptized in the name of Jesus, and Paul laid his hands on these people, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, that power that God wants to fill. In Ecclesiastes, God says eternity in your heart's a spot that needs to be filled. He allows that spot to be filled with the Holy Spirit, God's power, his ability placed within us. And all of a sudden, they receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. And they have God living in them. It's important that Paul recognizes, it's important that Christians aren't just Christians in name. Get this. It's not just I claim myself to be a Christian, because that's what these guys were doing that Paul meant. It's important that Christians are not just Christians in name. It's important that Christians are not just Christians on Sunday morning and going to church, because God is not keeping track of your church attendance. It is not going to be one of the requirements when you stand before him. Yes, I love you coming to church. It's important that we're in church. It's like our Justice League. It's when we get together as superheroes and work with one another. It's how we're supposed to be, okay? We're not meant to be superheroes on our own. We've got to work together with our superpowers that God gives to us. But that is not the requirement that God is looking for. The requirement that goes on is that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And the only way that the Holy Spirit dwells within us, the only way that he can come in is if we allow him to, that we trust in Jesus and put our faith and our hope in Jesus and Christ Jesus alone. And then that Holy Spirit can come in. And we can start living the life that God designed us to live as heroes for him. Not for ourselves. Because if you're a superhero and you're doing it to gain money or gain prestige, or if you're doing it to gain acclamation or praise for yourself, none of the superheroes do that. Recognize that. They try to do it in secret. They still get caught and stuff, and people think they're great and all this sort of stuff, and they have these following, but they're not doing it for the following. They're doing it for doing what is right. And same thing with Christians. If we're doing things so that we can receive the acclamation or the praise or make money or whatever it is, we're not doing it for the reason that God designed us to do it for. All right? So it's really cool, because after these guys gained the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues and they did these amazing things to let Paul know, hey, you're on the right track. It wasn't for them. It was really for Paul to recognize, hey, there are people out there, listen to me, there are people out there who think they're Christians, who think they're followers of Jesus, but they don't have the Spirit dwelling in them, and they need that Spirit. Because without the Spirit of God, there is nothing that they can do or say that's going to get them into the entrance of the kingdom of God. That Holy Spirit has to be dwelling in you. It has to be a part of who you are. Without the Holy Spirit, you've got nothing but religion. Without him, there's nothing. You need the relationship of that Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And it's important. Here's a cool thing. It goes right into Paul. Acts chapter 19, verse 8. It says, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. Verse 9, but some of them became obstinate, and they refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. And that's going to happen. Whenever the truth is preached, wherever the truth is proclaimed, there are going to be people that are going to be against it. They aren't going to want to hear it. They're going to go, la, 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 and they don't want to listen to the truth. But I'm telling you the truth about God's Spirit here, because this is what it's about. It says, but some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them, and he took the disciples with him, and he had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. That sounds like a superhero right there, Tyrannus. I can see like Tyrannus. Anyway, so I'm getting off track. So this what? There's already one of those? Oh, my goodness. See? I understand that. His name like Tyrannus, why would he be popular? Anyway, so verse 10, this went on for 2 years. So Paul continued to preach and teach and do these things for 2 years, so that all the Jews and the Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. He persisted in it, even in the midst of opposition, for 2 years preaching. This is where it gets cool. This is where the superhero stuff comes in. God did, listen to it, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. Did it say Paul did extraordinary miracles? No. It says God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. That wasn't Paul. It wasn't Paul that was doing this. It wasn't Paul that was taking the hanky and going, oh, here, give me your hanky, and he wipes his head with the sweat and says, here, take that back to the sick person, and it'll make him well. It wasn't Paul doing that. Paul really actually didn't even know what was going on, probably, at some point in time. When it first started, he didn't even know, but there's a precedence for this. You realize that? When Jesus, you guys remember when Jesus, well, I know you weren't there, but you remember reading about Jesus when he was going to Jairus' daughters to go heal her because she was sick, and he was going through the crowded places, and the woman who was sick with bleeding for years and had been gone to all these different people to try to cure her, couldn't be cured in any way, shape, or form. It says that she reached out and she touched the hem of Jesus' cloak, and instantly she was healed, and Jesus said, wait, stop. Power went out from me. Someone touched me. And his disciples, we could go back and read this, but the disciples were like, what do you mean someone touched you? We're in a crowded place. There's people pressing up against you all over the place. And you realize now someone touched you? He says, no, power went out from me. And then the woman finally is like, oh, man, I'm caught. She goes, it was me. She says, and she explained the whole thing. And she says, I just thought if I could just touch the hem of your cloak, I would be healed. And Jesus was like, you dirty dog. No, he didn't do that. He says, your faith has made you healed. Now, there's other instances that when I got to looking at this week, I was telling Nathan, actually this morning, I was looking at some other places. You know, I've been reading the Bible for a long time now. I've been not just reading it, but studying it. And it amazes me. It absolutely gets me. If you ever get tired of reading your Bible, it's not the Bible that's getting tired. It's you, okay? Because it is alive and active. I've been reading it for so many years, and it amazes me when I see things that I know I've read over and over again, but I just didn't catch it. Take a look with a couple of these real quick. How many? Can anyone else think of instances where this happened besides the woman? Raise your hand if you can think of other instances. It's okay, Diana, you're shaking your head. Can you think of other places where this happened, where this is talked about, just touching the cloak or the hem of something? This is pretty cool. Take a look with me. Mark chapter 14. Or is it Matthew? I can't read my own writing. I think it's Matthew. Matthew chapter 14. I really can't read that. Let me look on the page. Maybe I can find it. Oh, verse 34. After Jesus walked on water. Yes, he did walk on water. When you get to the other side, verse 34, they said, then God, when they had crossed over, they landed at I struggled with it all morning. Gennesaret? Is that right? Good enough. Gennesaret. We're going with that. Gennesaret. Kind of like Geneseo, but Gennesaret. And then when the men of that place recognized Jesus and sent word to all the surrounding country, listen to this. You know, we get so tied up on Jesus walking on water, how cool that is. But here's really the cool part. It says, when they recognized him, they sent word to all the surrounding country, and people brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Why didn't I ever see that before? I was too wrapped up on the whole walking on water thing, which was cool. Superpower. Talk about Aquaman. Everyone who touched the hem of his cloak were healed. Take a look with me. Oh, now I lost my piece of paper. Take a look in Mark chapter 3. I can't see the clock today, sorry. Mark chapter 3. Verse 9, it says, because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. Listen to this. He had to get in a boat to preach because the people were getting, this became so popular that people were crowding around him. Verse 10, for he had healed so many that those diseases, he had healed many so that those diseases were, those diseases? For he healed many so that those with diseases were pushing forward just to touch him. Look at chapter 6, verse 56. That's the same thing with Matthew. You see what's going on there? And these are just a few of the instances. See, Jesus' ministry was marked by healing and driving out demons and doing miraculous, incredible things. But here's the neat part about this. You're thinking, well, that's Jesus. But listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 14 to you guys. I'm going to read this to you. John chapter 14. We all know the beginning part of John chapter 14. It's very nice and very comforting and very encouraging. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, where you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. We all know that part. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Even Jesus is saying, the stuff that's going on, God's controlling it. He's doing it. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Now verse 12 gets really scary here. Here we go. He says, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will ask, I will do whatever you ask of my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. You see, that's the key right there. Because in Acts chapter 19, it's not Paul who's doing the healing. Remember, it says God does this. That power is not of himself. He's not some superhero, but the thing that dwells within him, that Holy Spirit, is the one that allows the miracles to happen. It allows him to do the things that he's not able to do on his own. And that's not just for Paul and the disciples who were back then. That is a promise for you and for me. God designed you to be a hero. God designed you to have the power to do amazing things. Now, not all those amazing things are going to be manifested in you. You might not have the power to heal, but you might have the power to give unselfishly. That's a great superhero power. You might have the power to teach. You might have the power of helps. You might have the power of all these different things that are the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit. And here's the thing. God wants you to use it not for your benefit, but for his glory. That's what the church is about. We are to be a league of superheroes coming together using the gifts that God gave to us for his glory and for the advancement of his kingdom. And here's the part that you need to hear. If you don't believe that, then you are going to have no part in the ministry. And you are going to have no part in the kingdom of God. Because it is only through the gift of the Holy Spirit that we are allowed to do anything. We need to desire to live our lives in that spirit. That doesn't mean that we're living, we're allowing that gift to be happening in our lives all the time. It's kind of like the superheroes. Sometimes we're just ordinary goofballs like the superheroes, walking around in plain clothes and wearing glasses and all this imperfect, sinful people. But you know what? If we live by the Spirit, when the opportunities come for us to be a hero for God, that Spirit has the ability to turn us into the Hulk or whatever it is. And do the things that God needs done right then through you, a weak vessel who is incapable of doing it on your own, but through God's Spirit gives you a super ability to handle the situation that He has placed you in. Does that make sense? Wow! Here's the cool part about it. After you experience that, you want to live for those moments. You want to live for them. It becomes, I don't know how to describe this. Wow, how do you describe it? Put it in words, somebody, that I can't get because I can't figure it out. It becomes, it gives you purpose. It gives you heart. It gives you hope. It gives you courage. It gives you wisdom. It gives you power to live in the life that God called you to live. It's awesome. I don't know if I could handle living in that spot all the time, though, because it's like it wears you out. After you get done, whew, you're like, whew, man, that wasn't my energy because I didn't have that energy. So Paul's out there making tents, preaching, arguing, doing all the things that normal people do, that we should all be doing. He's out there doing the thing, and God is working through him even when he doesn't know what's happening. People are being healed. Good things are happening. Evil spirits are getting cast out. And you'd think you'd want to just go on with that story, give some examples and stuff like that, but Luke doesn't do that in his account of Acts. Here's what Luke does. He gives it, you got the superhero, now you got the antithesis. That's a big word for me. The opposite. Because when you start using your superhero powers that God gave you, people are going to see that and they're going to recognize, you know what, Don Hoag is not. He's not that guy, but something happened. And I saw him, I don't know what happened, but that was pretty cool. And if Don can do it, I mean literally, if Don can do it, I could do it too. I love you, you know that, right? If Don can do it, then I can do it. And so people start thinking, well, I want that. I want to do the same thing Don's doing. And that's what's happening here. I think people were seeing the following that Paul started having because Paul actually reached the entire part of Asia through his ministry. We're told that already. He was having great success. And who doesn't want success in their life? So look what happens. It says some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits, and that's what Paul was doing in many ways. They're driving out evil spirits, tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. So they're trying to do the same thing that Paul was doing. They're going around trying to drive out these spirits, and they're probably having success with the little ones. But they would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. These seven sons of Sceva, Jewish chief priests, were doing this. And one day, the evil spirit answered them as they said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I demand you to come out. This spirit says, Jesus, I know. And Paul, who you speak of, I've heard about. But who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them, and he gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. You know what that tells me? Pretty simply, don't fake the superpower. Man, if you think you're Spider-Man, throw out a web and swing on it, and you are not Spider-Man, you are going to fall flat on your face. If you think you're going to jump out in ministry and do it on your own power, you're going to have all kinds of problems. You're going to get beat up and naked and bleeding. And so some people are thinking, well, I'm not going to get into ministry. I'm not going to step out in faith because I'm not. Oh, it scares me. It should scare you. But if the Spirit lives in you, if He lives in you, He will prompt you and He will empower you to do. And does that mean that you don't get beat up? Does that mean if you step out in ministry and it falls flat on its face, or you get beat up, or you get hurt, or whatever, you quit and say, well, that wasn't for me? Ask Paul about that. Ask Paul, because he's been from city to city. He's beaten and jailed, being stoned, being thrashed. Being in ministry doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Talking about the ministry fair next week, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. In fact, it's going to be hard because Satan's going to fight against you even stronger. As long as you're not doing anything, Satan's fine with where you're at. He's going to leave you alone for the most part. But as soon as you start stepping out, there's going to be a force that's going to try to beat you up. Stay strong. Stay persistent. Work in the power of the Spirit and not in the power of your own abilities and knowledge and understanding and hope and courage. Work through Him and in Him. Allow Him to work through and in you. That's the best way to put it. And God will take care of the results. The reason I'm preaching this sermon this morning is because there needs to be a resurgence of people allowing the Spirit to work in them. That's what Steve was talking about this morning. Whether you heard it or not, some of you just heard Steve saying, you know, y'all need to repent, you need to get the junk out of your life, and shame on you and bad on you. But that's not what Steve is saying, is it? He's saying, you know what? If you want the Spirit to work in you, it's time to repent. It's time to clean the house. Like, it's time to clean the tile, like Jim was talking about. That's why those two fit so together. That's why this all fits so perfectly together. It's time to recognize that something's plugged up inside of you. And it's time to Roto-Rooter it out. And the way to do that is not to get a machine. It's to get on your knees and say, God, I am a sinful man, and I need help cleaning this out. I need your Spirit to clean me out. I need forgiveness in the midst of this. And allow the bad to be pushed out and the Spirit to come in. And find that power that God has designed for you to work in. The church needs to do this. There is a plan and a vision set out here, but it's never going to happen. You think what's holding it back is money? Money is not holding back the vision of Walnut Community Bible Church and the combining of these churches to work together for the glory of God, so that His name will be lifted up in this community and in the surrounding area. It's not money that's holding us back. It's the Roto-Rooter process that we need to go through to allow God to start working through us. And it's not just one or two, it's all of us, me included. But nobody can do it for you, only you can do it for you. And it starts by humbling yourself before God. Starts right there. It starts by allowing Jesus to become the true Lord of your life. And it starts by allowing that Holy Spirit to have control. You are, if you are in Christ, a superhero. You do have a superpower. Greater than any power in any place in all the universe and beyond. And that power is the Holy Spirit that wants to dwell inside you. You are able to do exceedingly more than you could dream or imagine or hope for. in the name of Jesus for his glory. Amen? What do you got to do? What step do you have to take today? Just take it. Just start. Just start today. We're going to sing a song of invitation this morning, and I'm going to put out an invitation. Here you go. I'm not going to write it out. I'm going to speak it out. If God has convicted you this morning, maybe through what Steve said or what Jim said or what Don said, open your spirits up this morning. Allow him to come in. Don't quench him. Don't push him down, but allow him to do the work that he's wanting to do within you. If you need to get on your knees this morning, right here, this area right here, from the rock over, is for you to just come this morning humbly. Allow God to start speaking into your life just all by yourself right here. Just come and kneel before him and ask him to start that work in you today. Right there. If you're one of those people that feel like, man, I cannot do this on my own. I need someone to come alongside me and pray with me. Between the rock and the pulpit. If you need someone to come alongside you and pray with you, come. Get on your knees right here. And I don't know who, I don't know when, I don't know how it'll happen, but God will prompt someone in their spirit to come and pray with you right between the rock and the pulpit. If this morning you need to start this journey and allow Christ to come into your life today, you realize that you were designed and created for something more, and you have no idea how to begin that journey, it begins with acceptance of Jesus as Lord and Savior. And on the other side of that pulpit, I'm going to be standing. And if you need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for the very first time, if you're ready to start your superhero journey and life, today's the day to start. Don't think religion and church attendance, trying to be a good person, is what God's after. He's after a broken and contrite spirit. He's after someone who wants to live by faith and not by sight, to trust in the name of Jesus for their salvation. If that's what God's calling you today, as we sing this song, come. 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 Let's stand and sing.